Within Vayera, there we start with the 7 makos, 7 out of 10 makos. Within the makos of Yetzias Mitzrayim, one of the ideas that we learn, the arba kosos. Within the arba kosos, there's Vahutzeiti, Vitzalti, Vigalti, Vilakachti. But there's a fifth lashon, which is Veiveiti. We're going to learn with the Nitziv, there might be a different lashon of the fifth kos, which we'll see is Vidatem Kiyanei Hashem. So first I want to share with you the Meshech Chachma. The Meshech Chachma has a very, very unique interpretation, because everyone wants to know, we have different lashonos of the Geula. And there's a major machlokas, the Svornum, and others. What exactly does it represent? Each time, Vahutzeiti Hashem took us out, Vahutzeiti Vitzalti Vega'alti Velakachti. At what point is it talking about? Is it only talking about the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim? Does it include already by Kriyas Yamsuf? That's a major machlokas. But I wanted to start off with the Meshech Chachma, Meir Simcha Midavinsk. What do we learn from these 4 lashonos shel Geula, or we'll see the 5th lashon also? And he says in the first source, Vahutzeisi, there's 4 lashonos shel Geula. Vahutzeisi corresponds to Lahotzi Goy Mikarev Goy. As Chazal teach us, God's taking us a nation from within the nation. Ku'ubra mitoch isha. This is the Hotzah. There's a certain new birth that happens here, the Hotzah. Kamo lahotzimi betin. Al shayu mishukaim. What's the idea? We were so immersed in the Avodah Zarah. Mitzrayim, as we know, represents not only a foreign culture, but also represents the bad midot and the foreign deot. And that's why it's the Hotzah Goy Mikarev Goy, as it says later on in Sefer Dvarim. We're able, as the concept of the 49th level of Tumah, the idea is they were so close, they were so within the quagmire, so entrenched in Mitzrayim, that we needed Hashem, that's the Hotzah. What's the Hitzalti? Hitzalti, he says, corresponds to Zel Mashi Inu Otam L'chal Otam. The Vitzalti, the saving is because they afflicted us to try to destroy us. And that's like when you're saving from a murderer. Hatzala, literally Vitzalti. That's being saved from the physical. So far, Vitzalti is a spiritual birth because it's a whole renewal. And that's the imagery of a new baby. Hitzalti is the physically being saved from being killed, from the murderer. Ga'alti is me'avodat aved. Liyot chovshim bilti mishubadim. Ga'alti here is what? The geula of no longer being avdei paro. Okay, not longer being of avadim shal paro. And now we have that shibud off of our neck. V'lakachti etchem lila'am. Then it's not only that we were not no longer the sur meira of avdei paro, but now we became a nation with a order, and Hashem is the Melech. He says these dalar kosot correspond to the arba kosot, which we have in Leila Seder, correspond to the 4 lashonos shagula. How is that? So this is a little dochak, I think, because he switches the order a little bit, but you'll see the yisod he's going to say is going to be very important. He says kos rishon is kiddush, which is important. Yisrael, we know, are mekadesh zmanim. We are in charge of the time. Okay? This is the concept of kedusha, of being able to live life as being a kadosh people or mekadesh zman. And therefore, that corresponds to Vahutzeiti, which is very important. Concept that in La Briyut, the concept that we were so entrenched again in Tumah, and this Kedusha, this Kiddush, is that we a lot of times, Kiddusha, Chazal tell us to get us away from the Arayas of Mitzrayim. And that's the Vahutzeiti. That's the Vahutzeiti. That corresponds to the first kos. Vihitzalti, as we had said, is to save us from a murderer, from a non-Jew, in this case, running after us to kill us. Avalokashin Rofim Zedze. Okay? Shalo Gilu Mistarin Shebahem. So the Meshech Chachma explains that over here, what happened? So it's specifically Vitzalti, it's a remez, the Kos Birkas HaMazon. And because here we're talking about where Iker Amal Shinut, Huba Meheder Amuna Bashkacha, Michasaron Histapkut. He talks about that when you're, we had said Vitzalti is to be saved from a foreign, is to be a foreign person trying to kill you. Okay? But now, not when we are running after each other. And one of the reasons we were saved is we did not malshin one over the other. And this is the remez of Kos Birkas HaMazon. Because when does a person come and gossip against his fellow Jew? It's only when it's a lack of emunah, when not being able to see the picture that Hashem is providing for you. And Birkas HaMazon represents that God is providing for you. Okay? So that's, everyone with me there? So Hitzalti is from the foreign ruler, but one of the ideas, not only as we'll see, Shaloshinuet et Leshonam, as we'll see in a second from Vilakachti, and Lo Shinu their Shemot, that's what he's responding to here. Ga'alti, as we had said, is what? Is that we were a lowly Eved under Paro, right? And we know being an Eved, Chazal tell us, is not a good thing, because Zilele Shichle, it's total, no, it's not royalty, it's not being able to have that majestic feeling. And this is because you don't have yichus, because an Eved doesn't have yichus. You don't feel like you belong to something. And this is lo shinu, this corresponds to lo shinu shemotayim, that we remembered the yichus, the Ruvein, the Shimon, where we came from. This is the second kos. The second kos represents the first half of Hallel, which is all remembering about Betzeis Yisrael, Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov, Mi'am Lo'ez, Haisa Yudol HaKachot, to remember where we came from. That's the third kos, again corresponding beautifully to the Vega'alti. The fourth coast is V'lakachti Etchem Lila'am. This is that we didn't change our language. We were hoping to have the Gula and the future nationalism. And this we learned from Yosef, okay, that always was looking towards the future, Pakod Yifkod, and that is the Chatziah Halel, the second part, which talks about, second Halel, talking about our future nationalism, Mina Meitzar, and this is the four kosos. Explains the Meshech Chachma, Mr. Sammy. This is why it's wine. Why wine? The Mordechai, one of the Rishonim. Why do we have four kosos of wine? Why not four salads if you wanted to be a seminary student, right? Why four cups of wine? And here he explains, and the Netziv says something very, very similar. It's because wine, he says a different pshat than Netziv. Here the Meshech Chachma says beautifully, to answer the Mordechai's question, that we, it was b'schut, again, being able to have this separation, this redemption, that we separated ourselves from the Egyptians, so too, we were mitzuyanim, as we just said, these, that represents, Shiloh, he very adeptly, basically takes the medrash that b'schut, that we didn't change our lashon, we didn't tell on each other, okay, we didn't change our names, because of that we were mitsuyanim, as it said, and therefore that's what wine is. Because what does wine represent in halacha? Wine represents separation, because the wine, that's why we can't go and have a certain level of wine. The concept of gzeira of yenom is because we're afraid of hitchatnut, of being able of intermarriage. So this is the same idea, that's why it's dafka wine, because it represents that concept of being able to be separated. Arkan the Meshech Chachma, really a beautiful interweaving of why Arba Kosos and the Beschut of the different stages, as we had said. It's not just four different synonyms, it represents different parts of the Geula. We said four, but the truth is there's the fifth. And that's already the next pasuk. The pasuk says, "Ve'iviti etchem el haaretz, asher nasati et yadi latet ota la'Avraham li'Tzchak li'Yaakov, v'natati ota lachem morasha ani Hashem." So here is, you have the ve'iviti. So the question is, if that's the fifth language that Hashem is going to promise to Eretz Yisrael, there is a beautiful Torah Tamima in chapter 6, verse 6 in this week's parasha, that says, "Why don't we drink the kos? Why don't you drink the fifth kos? If it's to Eretz Yisrael." So the Torah Tamima, this is not on the sources, just telling you outside, the Torah Tamima says, because we don't have Eretz Yisrael, because we're still in the Galut, and that's why we don't drink the fifth kos. Therefore, very super radical Zionist come and say, hey, now we have it. We have the Medinat Yisrael, and therefore there are certain some Zionists who say, drink the fifth kos. But that's the question about Ve'iveti Etchem. Okay. What?
Would Rav Kook drink the fifth? I mean, he was a pretty Zionist.
Yeah, he was pretty Zionist. I don't know. He probably would have. Well, we have it in there. We say Koshel Aliyah. We correspond that. So that's when they were. That's when, in theory, we should say Baruch Atah Hashem. We're now in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. I just want to comment to you on the last part of the pasuk, which is V'natati Otalachem Morasha Ani Hashem, not the camp. Okay? But dealing with Morasha, I would say two parts. What is, I want to define what it means Morasha. I want two questions. Number one is define what it means Morasha. There's a difference between Morasha and Yerusha. What is that difference? That's question number one. And number two is there's another time in the Torah that the word is used Morasha. Where is that? Only one other time in the Torah it used the word Rasha. It's the first thing that you're at 3 years old that your father taught you. Torah Tzivalanu Moshe. Morasha Torah, 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 Torah. Right? Know that song? You gotta get a new niggin. It's the only time. It's Eretz Yisrael, Veveit Yatchem La'aretz. There are two times in the Torah it says Morasha. The question is, why is that? And third, I want to tell you what the Netziv says beautifully. What does it mean? V'natati ota lachem Morasha ni Hashem. And we'll connect some of the perushim that I'm going to say. The Netziv explains, what does it mean that Hashem gave it to us as a Morasha? Morasha, he says, is not only when you're actually living here, but it's even when we're in the galut, it's going to be yours. He says it's like a person who is away from something that is a sadev yerushet avotav. He's always thinking about it. He's not going to forget it because it's something that's part of who he is. And this is what the Netziv says is exactly what Rav Soloveitchik said. Rav Soloveitchik explained that the common denominator between Torah and Eretz Yisrael that way is that there's a difference between Morasha and Yerusha. Yerusha is an inheritance. And therefore what? I have full ownership of the inheritance. I get inheritance, I can do whatever I want. I can go to the Matnas, I can go to Atlantic City, go visit some Israelis in Atlantic City and have a good time. Okay? A Morasha is not an inheritance. A Morasha is very much very similar to what the Netziv explained, Rav Soloveitchik explained it as something. It's not just with sentimental value. The English word he used was an heirloom. Morasha is an heirloom. What is an heirloom? An heirloom, I'll give you an example of an heirloom is. You can look it up in the English dictionary. But what it means, an heirloom. Am I not talking in English here? The UK English?
Maybe it's
that's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, we do use that.
You use it. Okay, just doesn't know. An heirloom. Maybe say it differently. What is an heirloom? An heirloom is, the best example I can give you is a person gets engaged and you buy an engagement ring. You get an engagement ring for your wife, right? But you have what? My wife is named Leah. Her grandmother was also named Leah. So she wanted to pass down. So it's not that I saved $5,000 from not paying my own engagement ring. There's that engagement. So is that just, you know what, let me go now to a pawn shop and sell off that ring? No, that's something that represents all the memories and represents that family that spans times and all the memories. That's what an heirloom is. So that's what Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Torah is not just knowledge. It's not just knowledge. I know Chakira about Rav Chaim, about David Shein Miskavin, and Sikresha. And it's not just knowledge. It's you're part of something. You're part of something great. You're part of Rabbi Kiva Eger. You're part of the Jewish people. You're part of an important link of what it means to be a Yid. The same thing with Eretz Yisrael. You're sitting here. You're living in Yerushalayim Har Kodesh. When people have been moser nefesh for you to be here. And it's something that is something so special. The fact that you're here and now the alumni are back and you could see where their experience was. And you go back and you have Rav Adari and you go back and you keep going. In the same base medrash that you're part of something great. So that's the concept of Morasha. Now one other piece, which I didn't put in the sources, is that the Gemara Masechta Amim Tet brings down this comparison, and it says, "Al tikre morasha, ela meurasa." It compares Torah, and it says to marriage. It compares it to marriage, but it's not only morasha; it's meurasa. What's meurasa? We're learning Ksuvos this year. Erusin, right? The engagement period. Now you might ask the question, which is, why does Chazal compare it to engagement period, not to the actual marriage? Nisuin.
Can you say there's always growth?
What? There's only growth in engagement, not growth in marriage?
Well, you never.
If anything, I'll say the opposite.
Mistaken.
Right? You hear the question.
I wouldn't call marriage a means to an end. but...
The what? What was?
Marriage, once you're married, you're fully there.
Yes. It was brought up before my
contract. Or else considered a marriage.
Okay. Could be.
Could be.
Could be. I hear that. Nice. Nice. Yeah.
Like
the question is, what's unique about... What's the unique part of engagement that Chazal wanted to say, you know what? That's why Torah is like that. You with me? So one answer is the freshness. Certain freshness at the engagement period. It's just the beginning. It's not like you're an old married couple after 40 years. Right? It's that engagement. And that's where Chazal always tell us that we have to learn Torah as it's new. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. It's as if it's today. There's a certain freshness that happens. It's not like, oh, I have to get up next to that guy who's snoring again. Right? You don't have those... Right, the dirty socks, you know, like all those things. That's one shot. Rav Steinberger, Rebbe here for many, many years, he's here once a week, comes, and he said the other idea is that Asher Anochi is that by engagement period, you're still not allowed to have that physical touch, and therefore, on a certain level, Torah represents something that is so supreme. It's what's called sichli. It's something that is purely spiritual. That way, the Torah is the opposite of chomriyut. Doesn't mean that physicality is not part of, but Torah is something that's elevated that way also. So those are two different interpretations. They're more interpretations, but I want to continue going ahead. I told you there is a fifth language. The fifth language we have said is veheveti. The Netziv is a different pshat. This is the Netziv which I've said before, which is the Netziv is a very, very important chiddush, that not everybody are supposed to be Rashi Yeshiva. Not everybody are supposed to be people that are in the Beis Midrash all the time. You have to be Kovei Itim Torah. You have to be Medaktik B'mitzvos. But not everyone, we need doctors, we need lawyers, we need professionals out there, we need engineers. So that's why he says that's this V.dot, the fifth language is V.tem Ki Ani Hashem. It's Lashon Chamishi. That there are going to be certain people that are the elite. This is why this is quote unquote the anti-Kolel. Meaning, Kolel is good, but not millions of people learning in Kolel. Okay, there's always every civilized society has to have a group of people that are sitting and continue studying and developing. That's great. But the Torah never meant that everybody should be learning, and that's and then being supported, etc. That's not what the Torah meant. V'datem ki ani Hashem is a time of being able to have that idea where there are certain people who are totally mishukaim b'dat Elokim, and that's what he says. There are many people to be like that. The arba kosot, as the Netzivot explained, is four different stages of development. We didn't go through it, but he said that that's why the wine, because the wine gets to your face and you're able to see each different stage as you develop in yeshiva. You should be able to see it, not because you're wearing your tzitzis out or those type of things, but in a certain level of how you act and your more refinedness. That's why the wine. The fifth kos is vidatem ki ani Hashem. And that's the reason why it's not a chovah. Why not to drink it? Because that's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. It's a mitzvah, but it's not for everybody. Every week we do one chassidish pshat. Every week. See, here we have it. V'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot mitzrayim. We talked about the long language of v'hotzeiti. What does it mean that God took us out from sivlot mitzrayim? Okay, so I'm in source number 4. What does the word sivlot mean? Literally it means pains. God took us out of the torture, the pains of Mitzrayim. But a beautiful pshat, which is something that's very important for us to work on, the Svas Emes, the Ger Rebbe here says, Shamati from the Ger Rebbe, the Chidushi Harim, that he says, Sivlot is from the Hebrew word Lisbol, which means to tolerate. And he said that v'hotzeiti etchem mitachat sivlot Mitzrayim, which means shelo yuchlu lisbol akoponim tumat Mitzrayim. The concept of tolerating. That what happens? We say to ourselves, "Yeah, I'm fine. Everything's okay. It's not what I really want, but I'll tolerate it." is a certain level of mediocrity. When I know I could be much, much, much better. But I tolerate it. The geula only comes as when you're able to say, I want more. Okay? And Moshe Rabbeinu had said, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamua elai. They're not going to believe me. They're going to have kotzer ruach avodah kasha. What is this kotzer ruach? This kotzer ruach, this short, literally short breath, is that. That's it. I can't do it. It's too hard. It's that low tolerance for development. And that's what the v'ga'alti etchem. Okay? And that's what he says. Im kein kodim sheshamu v'lo nim'as etzlam kara'ui v'lo yatsu mitachat sivlot. It's exactly like in anything change. What happens with the 12 steps? Any type of 12-step program. It's the reason why people don't stop smoking. Sometimes it can be socially, but it's all, you get certain benefits from it. There's certain benefits. No one's recommending that, but you get certain benefits. It's cancerous, and the Surgeon General tells you you're going to die. Okay. I enjoy the benefits. There's certain benefits. It's only when you can't tolerate one, if you overeat, you name it. It's only when you can't tolerate it anymore that you need to change. People who lose weight, it's because they just can't tolerate anymore. They can't tolerate anymore. And therefore, I want to look differently. I want to feed differently. I want to be able to walk up the hill. You name the... It's only when lo yuchal is bol, that's when you're able to move ahead. Okay? That is the... that's what the gula... That's what you need. And that's what the Sfasema says, that the Eitzah is to train yourself to say, no, this is, it's not good enough. I'm better than this. Okay, and that's the Hatchalat HaGeulah. That's, we're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. Then we have, just time-wise, I want to see what I'm going to do right now. Let's talk about the Arov. Let's skip ahead a little bit. And so let's understand what the Arov is. If we go on later, okay, a lot of times people don't. The mark of Arov, what's Arov? Wild beast, right? So, why are they called Arov and not called Chayot Raot? Why is it called Arov? So, let's just look at the Psukim for a second. Open up the Parachet. Pasuk, right? Psukim. If everyone get their Tanakh over here. Okay, let's get Tanakh. Let's do a little Arov thing. Yeah, it's important to not just do the same over time. Let's go and understand a little bit about Arov. Okay, Parachet. Starting Parachet Pasuk Tetzayin. Okay. Arov comes right after Kenan. Vayomer Adonai el Moshe hashkem baboker v'hityatzev lifnei paro. Hinei yotzei amayim. Get up in the morning, go in front of paro, he's going outside. Vamarta ilav. Ko amar Adonai shalachmi v'abduni. It's going to be very important. This is different. How is this different already than the first Makkah? Where is he going? Where is he meeting him? Meaning, as opposed to, for example, in Perek Zion, it says, Leichel paro baboker, hine yotze amayma v'nitzavta likrato al svat hayor. Right? Go meet him by the water.
Well, the water,
right?
Is where it's like private.
Right, it's water. It's water is when he was saying that he's a god type of idea. Here he says, you know that's what he's doing, but what happens now? Get to him in his house. Okay? We'll see some of the Mefarshim talk about what I just said. That last part, what does it mean? What is the shorish of Arov? Why doesn't it say Chayot Raot, if that's what it means? V'ifleiti b'yom ahu et Eretz Goshen. This is one of the first times that it says that Am Yisrael is separate in the actual Sukkim. It's not very clear within the first Makos. Did Dam happen to all of Egypt? right? That's a major machlokas. We're not doing that. Some of you, I'm sure, learned it a little bit. Was it all the waters? Was it, did the Jews make a good business of importing water and selling it? Right, a lot of different ways of what happened with dam. Right now, we're not doing a shir just about all that. Makot, I figured, do a little aruv and a little iyun and aruv. Vifleiti bayom ahu ataretz goshen asher on ami omer alel levelti ayot sham aruv laman teida ke ani adonai bekerav aretz. Okay, fine. The emphasis is that the aruv kaved comes into the base paro. Let's look at the interpretations. What is Arov? So let's go. We have some Rishonim here and some Achronim here with you. Okay. Anybody have a thing with Rashi also or no? Okay. So Rashi here says et Arov. He says kol mine chayot raot, all of, he's quoting for the Medrash here. Kol mine chayot raot nechashim ve'akravim bi'ir buvya. You know what the word arov means? The Targum brings this medrash down also. What's arov stand? Where, what's the shorish arov? Ir buvya. What's ir buvya? A mixture. It's a mixture. Arov comes from the word ir buvya. It's a whole mixture of wild beasts. It's a mixture of snakes and scorpions and wild and predators altogether. And they'll be destructive. Okay. And then he says, "V'yesh tam b'davar be'agada." We'll get back to this part of this second part of the Rashi in a second. The Rashbam says, "You know what ha'arov comes from? What's the word? It's good to know this, no? Erev. What's erev?
Night
time." Says the Rashbam, "Omer ani ki minei ze'evim hein." You know who these wild animals are? Wolves. Why are they wolves? Why are they called arov? Al shem shed darkam litrov balelot. They're predating at night. Kedichtiv ze'ev arevot isha dedem. Uchsiv ze'evei erev lo garmula boker. Okay? That's what he does at nighttime. That's why it's called arov. It's based on the ze'evim, the wolves. Comes another question that they ask is, it doesn't just say arov, but it actually says ha'arov. Okay? And this, Rabbeinu Bachai, and the Ksav, the Kabbalah, and I thought there was another page I thought I put in, or Shimshon will follow her. I guess I didn't. Okay? I guess it didn't come out. But they all asked this question of what is, why specifically ha'arov? Why is it with the hey ayidia? It should have said hinini mashliach b'cha arov, and he explains the contrast of arov of this to the previous ones. This is not a brand new. Rabbeinu Bachai says this is not a new creation, but it's a makah that was sent of the arov shemid b'midbar. Okay, it's not something that's new. But the Ksav Kabbalah explains, why is this the Hei Yedia? Look what he says. He says, the last page. He says, the Ksav Kabbalah of Mecklenburg explains that, what is that? Why Hei Arov? It's Morel Davar Omeid Neged Einei Hamidaber V'Hashmeh. It's in your face. Ki Heichal Paro Ayakol Remes V'Chayal Mina. They had all of these animals there right in his face. They're all crawling there. And they came in front of you. And that's what he emphasizes over here. Before it was Lech El Paro Babokir, go asvate or. Right? Originally, don't go into his house. Speak there. Here's the opposite. Go into the Heichal. This is where it is. This is where your the Avodah Zar was, right? Because if you tarry, you're not going to find him in the Heichal. He wants to go out to the water. Okay. There's a little bit about Arov. There's more, but I didn't bring the sources. I have time for one more pshat. Do I have time for one more pshat?
It's like 12, right?
What time is it?
10 plus 4.
I have time for one more shot. Go back for a second. In Shmod Perek Vav, Shmod Perek Vav. I brought you the psukim here. And there are really three interpretations here, because it's very, very strange. Of if you look at it, it brings down the list of Bnei Reuven, and it says only very few about Bnei Reuven. B'chor Yisrael, Chanoch, Falu, Chetron, V'charmi, Eile B'shmachot Reuven. Then it says Shimon, also just a couple. But then it says Levi, and we get to 18 psukim over here. What's going on? Why the unfair division of press time over here? Reuven, a couple sons, Shimon, a couple sons, Levi, lots of good work. Answers Rashi. I'll tell you why, because the whole point here is to get to Shevet Levi, to get to Moshe and Aaron. That's what we want here. The whole point here is just to get the Yichus of Moshe and Aaron. That is Rashi's interpretation. The Sforno has a beautiful shot about what it means, the importance of a grandfather. This is the Sforno. The Sforno says here, it's Badin Manat Eila. Both the Sforno and the Meshech Chachma here, one talks about the importance of the leaders here being older and the Nemanut of the leaders that we'll see in the Meshech Chachma. These are the two. We'll finish off with these two interpretations. Says the Sforno, Eila Rashi Beit Avotam. Badin Manat Eila Sarim Al Yisrael. These ones are listed because these ones are worthy. Because Reuven was a Bechor Yisrael. However, what happens? His descendants weren't worthy, except for the couple that were mentioned over here. Same thing with Shimon. Aval Levi he'erich yamim al kulam, says the Sforno. Levi outlived them all. And gidel gam et bnei banav la'avino l'rot. Moshe just didn't stop. We don't believe that Moshe was born the leader. It's through a lot of, obviously, siyata d'shmaya, but he had a grandfather that sat with him and taught him. V'chein katu ma'amram ba'ofen. Right, he taught with Kahat and Amram, and that's how we get a Moshe Aaron and Miriam, by chinuch, by being able to make it as a priority to sit with your children and learn with them and grandchildren. We don't believe that once a person is 80 years old or 90 years old, they're old geezers, even though geezers mean different the other way. In England, geezers mean young people. In the other English language, geezers are old people. You called geezers like teenagers.
Anybody.
Right. So geezers in America, geezers are all, or it's a derogatory term for old people. For like, you're an old geezer, like you're worthless. Right? Go to a home. Right? But we don't believe that. We don't believe that. And that's what the Meshech Chachma here talks about. We'll conclude with this. Eile Roshe Beit Avotam. Kinei He'emir Hashem Yitbarach. Moshe Ve'aron. L'Nevi'im U'Manigim. He made Moshe and Aaron the leaders and the Nevi'im. L'Baal Yipol Safek B'Leivav B'nei Yisrael U'Pikbuk B'Shlichutam. He appointed them that there shouldn't have any doubts. L'Chin B'char B'em Dafko and their Skenim. He didn't choose them when they were young lads. V'Azakin B'al Yaseh Tachbulot R'miyal R'mot Achirim. The old person is not doing schemes to play games, to get ahead. Uvifrat lotzi am shalem bilti mesudar ulanicham kitzon. He's old. Zachina ish pachra maves. He knows he's about to die. Chom ruchol kvar avdar. He doesn't have that young, vivacious, competitive that I have to beat the next guy. Kain bachar Hashem yitbarach, because he knew that there are people just like in every leader. People are going to be looking at them and criticizing them. Yumivakrim achrei pulot Moshe, meharim achrav in every turn. Really, he meant this way. But he chose them in order to make sure that the nevuah and the manigut will continue. And therefore, vayu arbim shana pnuyim misada v'cherem ulivavam tarud rak b'muskalut. It was 40 years of the Dor De'ah, and they were able to be focused. Vayu mabit, they were looking after Moshe at every prat. We also know. But we know, as much as Moshe and Aaron were looking and making sure that they were trying to lead with the right intentions, the bottom line is we're an Am Kshe Oref, and you have people there that are always going to be naysayers. And that's why here it says Bnei Reuven Falu Uvnei Shimon Ben Aknanit Uvnei Yitzhar Korach and Pinchas. These are all the people, Bnei Falu, Shevet, Shimon, and Korach. These are the people who were anti-Moshe every step of the way. And Pinchas had to be zealous. These are the different people that went against Moshe. They were going after him. That's why the end of the pasuk says, "Hu Aronu Moshe, Asher Amar Hashem Lahem Otziut Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim." These are the people that did it for the right reasons, and therefore Moshe ben Shmonim Shana, Aaron ben Shloshim Shmonim Shana, B'Dabram El Paro. In order that Bnei Yisrael could say, these Zkenim, they're not liars, they're not cheaters, but they are Shlichei Hashem. Both the Sforno and the Meshech Chachma tells us how, with the respect we have to have for our elders, to be able to make sure that they're helping us understand not only the past, but how to live the present and build the future. Shabbos.